You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening, for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil. Pat Riley sat down with ESPN's Dan Le Batard in a long interview about a whole lot of things, but one thing in particular stood out, and as one of our listeners, Kyle, wrote in, Riley said recently he doesn't want to retire until he wins another title. At this point, that's a multi-year project. Do you think he has it in him still to build a contender and win? I'm a little skeptical after the last few off-seasons, but believe in Riley, we trust. Kyle, of course, is referring to the portion of that interview where Riley talked about how Dwayne Wade led the Heat to their first ever championship against Dallas.
He had his head down and he clenched his teeth and he said, I ain't going out like this. Maybe that's why I'm not going to retire. I ain't going out this way until we win another title.
David, what do you think?
It's tough to see Riley, you know, staying with the team for that long. I'll be 100% honest with you. Like, I understand his comments, but I remember even a couple of years ago when Wright Thompson of ESPN wrote a fantastic profile on Riley, talking about him riding around in a convertible along Malibu. And even at that point, the specter of retirement was already hanging largely over Pat Riley. And it's been a couple of years, like I said, and he's still here, part of the team. So as far as his willingness to be with the team, I'm a little skeptical. I could see it going either way, which I know is incredibly vague, but that's the reality. He could pull out. He could, well, you know, there's no guarantee that he'll be here, you know. I mean, unfortunately, death comes to us all, so it's, you know, he could be outed one way or the other. I mean, that's the reality. You know, he is older. I mean, we don't expect him to keel over any second now, but that's never the expectation. Either way, though, as far as the rebuilding aspect of it, you know, and actually getting this team to a title, I would say that things change quickly, and we don't know how long that'll take. It is absolutely a multi-year project, but it could be 2 years instead of 5 years, and that's a realistic possibility. You look at what happened ever since Kevin Durant has joined the Golden State Warriors. The Oklahoma City Thunder have undergone a massive transformation. They went from that 1 year where Westbrook won the MVP and he was leading the league in triple doubles and, you know, putting up these historic numbers, and they were a playoff contender, not necessarily a title contender. And then the second year of that experiment, they acquired Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. Now they've got Paul George here in his third year as the MVP candidate. So you have two MVP type players in Westbrook and George, and you have a nice supporting cast in Steven Adams and others. So the thing is, you don't know who's going to come up available. And I think that's the problem now that a lot of Heat fans have, is that they see no path for this team to success. And I don't see that as being the case. Eventually, these contracts will move away. Look, Tyler's already gone. Ryan Anderson is going to be here forever. You've got nice young players in Winslow, Richardson, and Adebayo. You can re-sign Goran Dragic to a cheaper deal this summer. You know, maybe Deion Waiters continues to play at a more efficient level. Or maybe he gets traded, included along with an Olynyk in a first-round pick for a superstar. Well, who knows?
I mean, we're already seeing Pat Riley start to dismantle this post-LeBron experiment, right? Like, the Tyler Johnson trade, which was basically trading a starter for a bench player who's not going to play at all, hardly at all, in Ryan Anderson, was a salary dump and kind of just like, okay, the bells are going off. Like, I'm trying to dismantle this thing. I'm trying to reboot this thing. I think that much is clear. And to your point about guys come available all the time, I agree with you. And I think, yeah, this league, I mean, would a 76ers fan, you know, 5 months ago have thought that Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris was going to be on their team? Probably not, right? Like, things happen drastically and quickly in the NBA. My thing is, if you look at the guys who win championships, right, we're not talking about just getting back to 50 wins or becoming a title contender. He's talking about, and I should say this, like, in that I didn't, listening to that interview, it didn't sound like I am not retiring until I win a title. It wasn't like he kind of said maybe, you know, Like, I just think it is a goal of his that he thinks about, but I don't know if it's a hard and true thing for him. But still, like, if we think about the guys who win titles in this league, think about the guys that Pat Riley has won titles with, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Those were the two best players on the three championship teams that he had. How many guys are like that in the league, right? How many title qualifiers, title enablers, like guys who can be the best guy on a championship team? Like, let's go through them. We know that we know there's three for sure. LeBron, Steph, and Durant. Those guys we know can be the best, just based on recent examples, can be the best players on title-winning teams. Maybe you could throw Kawhi in there. I know he won finals MVP for the Spurs. You could argue that Tim Duncan was still the best player on that team. But let's just throw Kawhi in there anyway, right? Sure. I think Giannis and James Harden, I think you could put into that conversation. And then maybe Anthony Davis, even though we haven't really seen players like him be the best player on a title team lately. Centers don't typically win titles as much anymore.
Yeah.
But let's throw him in there too anyway, just for the sake of the argument. That's kind of it. And I don't know how Riley gets one of these guys. Like, Durant and Kawhi are probably signing longer-term deals this summer. That's the idea, somewhere. And that place is not going to be Miami because they don't have cap space to do it. So, sorry, that's not happening. Anthony Davis, I mean, unless Riley comes out of left field, and look, that's possible. I mean, look, all 29 teams are on Anthony Davis's list, apparently, so whatever. But maybe Anthony Davis is a guy, and then the other but probably not, because they can't beat anything that Boston's going to offer, or even anything the Lakers are going to offer. Like, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, and a first-round pick ain't getting it done, you know? So I think there's a less than 1% chance that Anthony Davis ends up in Miami. So kind of going with that, where do you go with that? And that's why I go to, it probably will be a longer-term thing, but can you get whoever the next Giannis is?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, I guess if you go back 3 years ago, you probably don't expect Adetokounmpo to become this type of player.
Yeah, like probably you not see this that, level. We thought he'd be right. We thought he'd be like all NBA, but not like this good. Yeah,
right. And maybe there's another young player within the first 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
That's at that point. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's a Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe finally Towns gets frustrated in Minnesota and says, "I want out." Can he be the guy that you can build a team around? You know, Riley's fascination with centers, and Towns being arguably the best center in the game. You could make a case that maybe he'd want out of Minnesota at one point, that he's tired of playing alongside Andrew Wiggins, who they can't move and will not be able to move.
In this era of player empowerment, I wouldn't rule it out, like with it, Towns or otherwise, like any other player. Like, I think and that's exactly what we're talking about here. Can you get this next guy? If it's Karl Anthony Towns, if it's somebody else. But then I kind of think about, all right, well, you got to start drafting guys too, because you can't just, like, you can't just sit and pray that hopefully one of these guys just demands a trade and that you're on their list of teams and that you just happen to have the guys and the assets that the team that needs to trade that player wants. Like, that's kind of a really crappy strategy. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem like you're really taking the reins here. And so I just think you need to set yourself up for things. And yeah, the Heat will have cap space, but everybody's going to have cap space, so that's less of a big deal. Fans overrate that a little bit. Like, I think they do. Like, I know that, like, Miami could still beat out Charlotte for a free agent, but
I think, you know, there's still, like, something to say as far as Miami's proven success record. Like, I mean, maybe we're hanging our head on that too much, but I think if your cards are equal as far as franchises, you know, 15 or 20 franchises that have the salary cap space, and then you winnow it down to a few contenders. I mean, the combination of Riley, Shane Battier, Eric Spoelstra, and whatever players are left on that roster, as along with the fact that we're playing in Miami, which is a huge coup for a lot of players, I think that's a significant bargaining chip.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about that after we come back from this break. What's up, Heat fans? We've got a special announcement. We're going to be giving away a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to a lucky fan. All you have to do is leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. Take a screenshot of both and email it to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Once we get to 150 iTunes reviews and 1,500 followers on Twitter, we'll randomly select someone to send a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to. You get to decide the style and size. And once we get to 150 and 1,500, we're going to be cutting off submissions. And we've already got a bunch of submissions, and we really appreciate it. So a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt could be yours for free. Just follow us on Twitter and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. All right, so let's keep talking about the situation. This wide-ranging interview, Dan Le Batard, Pat Riley, comes out Sunday. We've seen a couple of snippets from it already, but I'm sure we're going to get a ton of more material from this thing. So I think we're just sort of dipping our toes in the water of this interview. Yeah. But really, like this whole idea of trying to build another title team in Miami, we were talking about South Beach still being a draw for free agents. And I do think the one thing that is missing right now is the recruiter. And who is that recruiter? And like we've talked about that 1,000 times already. But I agree, generally speaking, by 2021, I don't think the 2020 free agency is going to mean anything. Like the Heat will have plenty of cap space in 2020. I think they're going to have to roll that cap space over with one-year deals again into 2021. There's no good free agents in 2020. It's just irrelevant. So if we're looking at Pat Riley's idea of trying to win another title and how soon that might be, I kind of think that's the year fans need to circle, unless something changes sooner than that in via trade or draft or something like that. And I just think that generally, if Pat Riley can still be the recruiter and can rely on Miami being a draw, that is a road. That is an option, but it just can't be the only option. I guess that's just my thing here. I appreciate that Riley might be trying to rebuild this thing on the fly. So you've got to open yourself up to the other roads, like the draft, trades, and free agency. Those are the three ways to get superstars. And you just got to keep just shooting your shot. And if Riley does this thing again, where he just signs a bunch of guys to long-term deals, then you've got less shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just absolutely think you've just got to have as many shots at a superstar as possible. And that needs to be more than anything, more than talking about specifically who it's going to be or whatever. Like you said, things change so quickly. Just get as many bullets as possible and just go that way.
If you are going to pursue the free agency route, and if that's a realistic option at some point, or a trade, you know, with a player that specifically says Miami is on my list of teams that I want to go to. Not that that matters anything, because you can look at the Kyrie Irving situation and realize that even though Miami may have been on that list, he's nowhere near here. One of the Heat's current players needs to make an all-star team within the next two seasons, because that is where the recruiting process will take place. At this point, and you know, we've talked about this a number of times, you know, with Wade gone, we didn't know who that recruiter was going to be. There's a possibility it could be Bam Adebayo. With that Kentucky, you know, allegiances there, there are so many different players in the league that have come out of that system. That's a possibility. Otherwise, it's either Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson, neither of whom really have those kind of connections. Look, they do out of season work with other NBA players. That's the reality. They have those options, but it's not the same thing. Like having just been in Charlotte, seeing how the players interact with one another while they're there. In this kind of system where they recognize each other as the very best of the world. Like Goran Dragic, look, as much as I love Goran personally, he's not that guy. Look, he was there last year. He wasn't in LeBron's ear saying, hey, come back to Miami. He wasn't in Anthony Davis's ear saying, hey, you know what, come back to Miami.
There is a who's club in the NBA. And if you're not in it, it's really hard to get into it. And we've even seen like a guy like Giannis almost just dismiss it as a, like, he's like, I don't even want to be a member of your stupid club. And then you've got other guys like...
There he is catching lobs from Steph Curry, though.
Not to catch a lob.
No, but I'm saying... But
I think guys would play with Giannis, yeah.
Of course they would, yeah, because he's a phenomenal talent. So I think that's part of it. It's like you have to be a superstar talent. You have to have that kind of personality where you can attract other players. Or, I mean, friendships form that way. Look at Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving. I mean, I think for all the talk we hear about Butler's personality being as abrasive as it is... He got along with Kyrie. There's certain.
Everybody gets along with Kyrie. What is up with that? Everybody just loves Kyrie. Everybody wants to play with Kyrie Irving. Like, he's really good. I love watching Kyrie Irving, and maybe that's what people just like. Wow, I like watching him. I want to watch him all the time.
I don't know. I don't know what it is either. I'm really not quite sure what it is that they like about his personality. Look, he's an engaging personality for sure.
Yes.
I think they love his skill. I think you talk about those
Nike guy.
Maybe.
Like Nike guy, that's a lot, right? Like he's got the best Nike
he's
shoes
also
right
young
now.
As
I think
hell
people
too,
respect
so
him.
I think that's. I mean, he's been in the league for an eternity, and he's still like in his mid-20s. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
It's so hard to get like Dwayne Wade basically formed that club with LeBron and Melo and CP3 and Chris Bosh, right? Like they formed that club. They made the Cool Kids Club. This new Cool Kids Club is very much Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. He's got that's the new Cool Kids Club. And I just like, and Giannis might be forming his own club. Like, this sounds like a weird way to kind of parse things through, but in the age, again, of this player empowerment, guys deciding who they want to play with and where they want to go, it matters almost more than, I would say, anything. More than market, more than New York, Miami, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee. It means, like, who you're playing with means more than anything, I think, for these guys and your chances of winning a title. But, like, you think about these guys who, like, come out of nowhere, right? The Kawhi Leonards to the Nikola Jokic's. Like, is anybody really, like, is Jokic even recruiting?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I just, like, he was hanging out with Luka Doncic and Nikola Vucevic the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Like,
and neither
okay,
of those players
that could
is recruiting
be a good team.
Anybody either. And look, that's understandable. Yeah. They're European
Luka
players.
Might. But, like, that's, right. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can make, like, the European Cool Kids Club, and that team might win. Like, Dallas might be building something with Kristaps and Luka right now.
That's
but
a good point.
You've got to get a club member and start forming a club. Like, that's just sort of how it happens. I don't know Miami has any of those guys. And so you got to go find those guys. And I don't
now,
know
what
how
if,
you
what,
do
what
that
if Wade
other than just...
joins the team's front office in some capacity. And he's there. He continues to be there around All-Star in the future.
Yeah,
let's say in a year or two from now, next season, Winslow makes the All-Star team or Richardson makes the All-Star team.
But,
which is
man,
obviously
like, Michael Jordan owns a team, and he was like the coolest kid of all. And he can't even get guys to come to Charlotte. So it's just like...
No, he's not the cool kid anymore, though. He's old school. Look, he is. If you're talking player, and I was watching this, it's Iverson. Right now, it's still that is the guy that today's crop of players still love, and
so
kind of feel like a part of.
He should hire Iverson
because he. Well, I'm serious. That would go a long way towards recruiting players. That
fire
really
Pat
would.
Riley, hire Allen Iverson, done. He can put his rings on the table. Oh wait.
Yeah, okay. I mean, unless he's writing contracts out on blunts, I don't think that's going to work. But anyway, look, Iverson gets the respect from current players. Jordan, not so much. I think he's just a little bit too old and a little bit too much of the business behind it. Because, look, he's already the owner. He's trying to exploit these players for his benefit, not the other way around. He's on the other level now that these players are trying to get to, and that's going to be down the road. But... I don't see. Look, Jordan's respected, obviously, because he's Michael, Jordan. But as far as the recruiting process, I don't think he's not an active recruiter. He's still old school.
I mean, going back to like the topic before I started bringing up hiring Allen Iverson to president of basketball operations.
Nice.
I mean, putting Dwayne Wade in charge, like I get it. Players aren't going to play with Dwayne Wade if he's in the front office, And I still think that matters more than anything. Like. It'd be like, all right, cool, you've got Dwayne Wade in your front office, but also, like, Kyrie is on the court, and I want to go play with him, And I just – and maybe it gets you one guy, but and look, screw it. Try it. I don't know. Like, that's another road. Hire Dwayne Wade to whatever he wants. But, like, czar of basketball culture. Like, I don't care. Just – you've got to set yourself up for more ways to get guys. And I just I'm worried that the Heat don't have that. They kind of don't care about the draft, even though they've drafted well lately. They haven't been a player in free agency. We just talked about Dallas. They were able, and like, okay, yeah, they were able to be opportunistic and trade for Kristaps Porzingis, and they drafted Luka Doncic. They moved up in the draft to get Luka Doncic. Well, that's because they had draft picks to move, and they had expiring deals, which New York wanted for Kristaps. Like, the Heat didn't have any of those things. Like, they weren't even in position for either Luka. Or Kristaps Porzingis. So they've got to be ready to pounce, and Pat Riley just hasn't been in the position to pounce. And that, to me, is obviously the problem right now, and it's what he's got to fix if he wants to be a title contender these next few years. I'm just sort of, like, pessimistic about that even being realistic, to be honest. Like, I don't see it. Unless something drastic happens this summer, I don't see it.
Is it then unrealistic? Not just unrealistic. Is it like, is it just weird or crazy to hear Riley say this? Like, I think maybe like he's putting this out there because he wants to come across to other players around the league and other front offices that he's not going anywhere. That the guy who is most responsible for creating the idea of Heat culture is going to remain a part of this team until he gets it done again. Like, because that could be a possibility that other players are saying, you know what, Riley's going to be gone, And even current players, they still talk about Riley. I remember talking to Eric Bledsoe about Josh Richardson and asking him about, you know, whether or not, you know, the Heat were in position to make Richardson a star and things along those lines. And he was talking about Riley. He mentioned Spoelstra, but he was talking about Riley. Like, Riley still gets, he still has buzz around these players, which is kind of weird. I mean, you got to credit our friends, the Heat beat guys. They asked LaMarcus Aldridge about the meeting that he had as a free agent a couple of years ago with Riley, and that was, it left an impression on LaMarcus. And those kinds of things, like, there's still power there. I mean, as much as the throne has lost some luster lately, I think players around the league still respect Pat Riley, and I think he still has perhaps a larger than life presence. And
I think you touched on something there. When you were talking about, you know, Riley just wanted to remind guys that I'm still here. In that short clip that we saw, like ESPN tweet out or whatever, it's on YouTube. Like, Pat Riley is sitting in front of Dan Le Batard wearing a black T-shirt that just says the word culture on it. And I do think that maybe with, you know, Boston and Toronto, Milwaukee and Philadelphia sort of being the kings of the East right now, New York sort of lingering there as possibly a contender next year, depending on what happens this summer for them. He's probably like here, like, did everybody just forget about me? You know, did everybody forget about the Miami Heat? Maybe this is sort of his, this might be a way for him to just sort of put his name out there. That's sort of like, why is Pat Riley doing this, right? It's not like Dan Le Batard just asked him and he was like, yeah, sure, I'll do this for you, bud. Like, there is a reason behind why Pat Riley is just right now doing this, going into this summer when there's so many guys available. And I'm not saying that Pat Riley is about to put the Heat in position to go grab these guys. I'm just saying the East is open now. Maybe he's starting to realize that this experiment didn't work and now he's trying to reboot it. And this is like a PR stunt. This is, hey, this is the pivot. This is the pivot that's happening. Look at me. We're still going to be culture strong, but we're going to do it with new players. And we want great players to come back here and win championships here. And that, it wouldn't surprise me if that was sort of the calculated measure that Pat Riley went with and why he's doing this interview.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this Heat team right now and they don't have a clear identity. They don't have a clear face of the franchise. You could say that it's Spoelstra. You could say that, you know, probably more than anything else, it's Dwayne Wade, and he'll be gone in a few months. So I think this is a powerful reminder from Riley that no, that identity is still here. It still sets with me, even though Spoelstra is the public manifestation of it. And whatever players are on the roster will continue to execute our vision. That vision still comes from me first and foremost. And I think that, again, you know, if you tie into what I was saying as far as the buzz that he still generates among current players, that makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't be surprised if he had reached out to Le Batard and said, you know what, I need an opportunity to kind of remind everybody that we are still an active participant, that we are still a valid franchise and a destination franchise for other teams, for other players that want to join us.
And I think the first step, or the second step, the first step is doing the sit-down interview, I guess. The second step, tank the season, get a top five pick, and they should be good to go. But that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Yeah!